Welcome to the Glory to His Name podcast, where our mission is to encourage, equip, and edify God's people through great devotions and interviews with spiritual leaders. Thank you again for joining us today. We have a lesson or a devotion from Brother Travis Cole. Travis's title today is, Have You Seen Jesus? Powerful message, powerful question. Have you seen Jesus? My thought is, as we get ready to listen to this, is do we look for him? Amen. Do we look for him on a daily basis through our friends, through our church, through the message, in our devotions? Do we look for Jesus? Amen. You're going to enjoy this message by Brother Travis. And we are still working on putting the podcast together on the retired NFL player, Amos Martin. We're just having a couple glitches there, but we'll have that on in the next few days. We hope you'll tune back in for that. But as always, we want to glorify the Lord Jesus in our devotions. We want to glorify him in every aspect of our life. So enjoy the message by Brother Travis. Have you seen Jesus? And we'll come back at the end for some parting comments.
Christians' hearts today. You know, you feel that way around Christmas time, certain times of the year, around the time that maybe you came to know Christ as your Savior. That's a special day, and you feel different that day, and something about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Easter Sunday, when we celebrate his resurrection, there's just a different feeling in the air. And thank God for that feeling. I didn't know anything about that early on in my life, and a lot of people don't, and I knew that I got candy, and I knew about hunting Easter eggs, Brother David, but I didn't know about the Lord, and I'd heard that he rose from the dead, Brother Jim, but really didn't understand what significance that had for me, and I'm sure there was some time in your life when it was that way for you. You didn't really understand the meaning of all that about what was going on. And there was a time even in Scripture when the disciples who were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ didn't understand the meaning of what was going to happen. They didn't understand what was going to take place. And in John chapter number 16, we're going to try to stay in the book of John. And toward the end, I got a couple scriptures outside of the book of John, but we're going to look mostly in the book of John. John chapter number 16, we're going to begin reading there in verse number 12. And the title of the lesson this morning would be, Have You Seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? And I know if you're here this morning, you're born again, you've seen him with the eye of faith. And these men actually looked upon the Lord. They got to see him in his bodily form before he ascended back to heaven. And you know, we have to understand today, you know, a lot of people that in the world say, well, if I could see Jesus, I'd believe in him. I'd believe that he was the Savior if I could just see him. And that's not always true. They think that. But Scott, there was a time that I thought that when I didn't know the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, when Jesus walked upon the face of this earth, there were still people that didn't believe. That's the belief is the whole situation. They saw him. They even saw some of the miracles that he did, and some believed and some didn't. And if he were here in bodily form today, it'd be the same way. Some would believe and some wouldn't, but we don't have to have him here in bodily form in order to believe on him today. We're going to see that from Scripture, Jesus didn't leave us without anything when he ascended back to heaven. He left the Comforter here for you and I, and we want to see that as we're looking. The Comforter, or the Holy Spirit of God, the heavenly Paraclete, is he's referred to. He's the Holy Spirit of God is what indwells a believer today. That's what warms our hearts this morning, is the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ that lives inside of every born-again believer. That's what we feel this morning as Christians. That's why it's a different day for a believer than it is for somebody that doesn't know the Lord. It's Easter Sunday to most of the world. It's Easter Sunday, but Brother David, it has completely different meaning for a believer. And we want to look at that this morning with the help of the Lord. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, dear God, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you, God, that we have a resurrected, living Savior, God, seated at the right hand of the Father this morning. God, we know that we can call upon you because you gave us permission to. In fact, Lord, you said we can come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may find help, God, in time of need. And Lord, this morning we find ourselves in a time of need. God, we know, Lord, we don't have the ability within ourselves, God, to do anything, but through you we can do all things. Pray that your word would be exalted this morning, and God, you would do the work in our hearts, Lord, that needs to be done. God, we ask for believers and unbelievers alike that they might hear and see, God, from your word this morning, which you'd have them to see. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. John chapter number 16, and we'll begin reading there in verse number 12. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now imagine that. Jesus is saying, I want to tell you some things, but you can't handle them right now. You couldn't bear them. And as we read on there, he said in verse number 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, Jesus was referring to a time that the Holy Spirit, and what he's referring to, this is prophecy at this point. He's saying, when I go away, he's going to tell us that in another place, I'm going to send the Comforter to you. He said here, he said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And Brother Mike, he's saying, you'll better receive it from the Holy Spirit of God than you would if I were to give it to you right now, Brother David. That's when Jesus was here in bodily form. He said, I've got some things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them right now. But when the Spirit of truth has come, when the Holy Spirit's come, you'll be able to receive it, right? And some things were going to have to happen, some things were going to take place. And as we read on here, he starts talking about the resurrection, and the disciples had no idea what he was talking about. And, you know, there are folks at home today, and then there might be some listening today. I don't know, but there may be people listening that don't know the Lord, that don't understand this thing about the resurrection. What does that mean? What's the significance of that in our day and time? What happened thousands of years ago? What does it have to do with me today? He said in verse number 16 there, actually we'll read verse 15 with it. He said, talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He said, verse number 15, all things that the Father hath are mine, Jesus said. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse number 16, a little while and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now the disciples didn't understand what he was saying. Look at verse number 17. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? ? They didn't understand. He said, what's he talking about? A little while and you'll see me, and a little while you won't see me. What's he talking about? Jesus was talking about his resurrection. He was talking about it dying, and 3 days later, they were going to see him. He was going to die. They weren't going to see him, Brother Scott. Then 3 days later, when he rose from the dead, they were going to see him again. That's what he was referring to, but they didn't understand. And you know, if you and I had been alive during that time before the resurrection of the Lord, Brother David, we wouldn't have understood it either. But we understand it now. Through the Holy Spirit of God and through the Scriptures, Brother Mike, we understand something that they didn't understand, and they were walking with the Lord. They were there with him in bodily form, Brother Scott. But we have a revelation. We've been revealed to us something that the disciples didn't even understand then. We can look back on it and understand it through the Holy Spirit and through the Scriptures. But Jesus said, verse number 17, then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith? A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father? What's he talking about? Verse number 18, they said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. Jesus, knowing all things and knowing their heart, knew that they were having this trouble within themselves, that they couldn't understand what he was talking about. So verse number 19, the Bible says, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? He said, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. What was he talking about there? You're going to be sorrowful. They were going to be crying. They were going to be upset, Brother Jim, when the Lord died. They didn't, even when he died, Brother Mike, we find out later in Scripture, they didn't understand, some of them, that he was going to raise again from the dead. They'd forgotten some of what the Lord had taught them, Brother Scott. But he said, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Well, it was going to be turned into joy when he resurrected from the dead. And that very thing took place. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come, Jesus said. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, and ye shall receive, he said, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I will no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that's exactly what he did. When the Holy Spirit came, he showed us plainly of the Father. Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles over to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. And we'll read the account that Jesus was referring to. Now, this would happen later. And this is in the proper order here, John chapter number 20 and verse number 1. The disciples didn't understand what day he spoke of, how that they would sorrow and their sorrow would be turned into joy. He said, you'd see me in a little while, you'll not see me, and then you'll see me again. Well, this is what he referred to. He referred to his resurrection, and it's what we celebrate today on Easter Sunday. John chapter number 20 and verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Said the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and we know, because it's revealed later in the book of John, that is John. It's the writer of this book. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to that sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first into the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. See, they didn't know that. They didn't understand that. They didn't know that he was going to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, or if you've taken him someplace, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. She realized who it was. She was distraught. She was beside herself. She thought that Jesus was the gardener, but as soon as she heard Jesus say her name, she knew who it was. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. He had to go bear the sin debt and pay the sin sacrifice for you and I. That's why he couldn't be touched. He couldn't be corrupted. He hadn't yet paid the atonement. He said, For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now remember that's key to what we're talking about. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto them. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now Jesus wasn't even there when Thomas made that statement about, I'll not believe lest I see the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand in his side. But Jesus knew that he'd said it, Brother Mike. He knew that he'd said that, and he knew that that's what it was going to take for him to believe. And Thomas answered and said unto him, after he'd done that, after he'd seen the prints and seen the wound in the Lord's side, he said, My Lord and my God. Verse number 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But here's an important part for our day and time, and you and I can attest to this. But he said, Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That have not seen and yet have believed. Brother Jim, we can still believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not having seen him like they did then. And you and I are a testament to that. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ who we had not seen. But you know, the funny thing is, the moment a believer does that, they put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they no longer need to see him, Brother Mike. They no longer need to see him, Brother Dave. Because the Holy Spirit comes in, God resides within our body, and we have no doubt that he's alive. No doubt that he's alive because he comes to live within us. So we don't have to see the Lord. He said, Blessed, he told Thomas, he said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, but blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And thank God, once a person puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith activates, what God comes alive inside the believer. And we have no need to be able to see him because we feel his presence with us. We feel him in our midst right now. The Lord said, Where two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He's with us now, and we feel his presence. We feel his presence as we read his word. We feel his presence on our knees in prayer. We'll feel his presence when the preacher's praying and preaching in a little while. we'll feel his presence when we fellowship together, one another as believers. Verse number 30 said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." In fact, the scripture says, if everything was recorded, all the miracles that Jesus did, all the books of the world couldn't contain them, Brother Jim. There's just too much. It was too much. But Brother David, it says here in verse number 31, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And that's the good news. And folks, if we had just had a dead Savior, if he just died on the cross, Brother Scott, and that was it, we'd be without hope. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't stay on the cross. He was buried. 3 days later, he did rise from the dead, and we have a risen Savior. Praise God for that this morning. That's our hope. That's our hope. And you say, well, you weren't there. How do you know that he rose? Well, I know because of the witness of the Scripture, and I know because he lives within me, right? I have his presence within me, and we have that this morning. We have the Lord Jesus Christ not only living at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, we have him living inside of us this morning. We can testify to that. And a couple more scriptures I want to look at this morning. We'll be finished up, but I want to encourage some of the folks that may be listening on Facebook, and I want to deal with a little bit of scripture dealing with that. There may be people listening this morning that don't know the Lord, that don't know anything about the Christ that lives within us, and I want to try to encourage them to come to know him and not just let this be another Easter Sunday. I don't know how you were before you came to Christ, but I'd gone to church before on Easter, Brother Jim, when I didn't know the Lord. In fact, more than once. A lot of people go to church on Easter. A lot of folks go to church at Christmas time, Brother David, but they don't know the Lord. But they'll go. And I felt better for going, Sister Kim, but I didn't even know why I was going, to be honest with you. I didn't understand it. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't understand. And that scripture we just read in John chapter number 20, where he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," that's the whole difference. That's the difference between knowing the Lord and not knowing the Lord, is having him come to live and dwell within us. John chapter number 16 and that verse 12 through 24 that we read, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." That's the Holy Spirit. He said he'll guide you into all truth. Jesus said he'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Jesus tells the Holy Spirit what to speak, and that's what he speaks to our hearts. He said, and now here's the part I want to encourage folks that are lost, that don't know the Lord. In John chapter number 14 and verse number 19, John 14, here in the same book, if you flip back there a few chapters, John chapter number 14 and verse number 19, Jesus said, "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more." Now, what was he talking about? They weren't going to see him anymore. Brother Chris, once he ascended back to the Father, that was it for the world. Now, I'm talking about people that didn't know him personally as their Lord and Savior, that had never believed on him. Oh, they'd seen the miracles that he did. They might have eaten of some of the loaves and the fishes that he dealt out that day, Brother David. They might have been there and seen that and received that. They might have drank some of the water that had been turned into wine. They might have done that. They might have been there at the marriage feast, but they didn't believe him, Brother Scott. They didn't know him. There's a difference between seeing him and knowing him, right? They'd seen him, but they didn't know him. And he said in John chapter number 14, and that's how I was, and there may be some of you out there that are the same way. You've heard about him. You've seen the manger scene at Christmas time. You know this is Easter Sunday, but you don't know him. That's what had happened during this time. He said, "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more." Because when Jesus ascended back of the Father, that was going to be the end of their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ until they knew him as Lord and Savior. Then he would come to indwell them. He said, "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also." Jesus said, because I live, because I rose from the dead, you're going to live also. You're going to live together with me. Not only are you going to live as a Christian in this life, you're going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. One day I'm going to take you home to heaven with me. See, the ascension and the resurrection, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he ascended back to heaven, that wasn't the end for the believer of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody said, well, how do you know the Lord's alive? And then somebody responded by saying, because I talked to him today. I talked to him today. I've been in conversation with him. I've been in communion with him today. I know that he's alive. So I would encourage the unbeliever, that one that doesn't know the Lord, that's never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. Don't let this be the last day you hear about the Lord. Don't let this be the last day that you see the Lord. Don't let this be the last day. Don't do like I did and go to church on Easter Sunday and then go back right back out unchanged. And that can happen. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 14, please. Hang in there if you're listening on Facebook. Please hang in just for these last couple verses. We want to pray and you'll be able to get on with your day, and we're going to get on with ours and worship the Lord and be thankful for his resurrection. But Mark chapter number 4, verse number 14 says, the sower soweth the word. If you've come in contact with another Christian in your life, if you've encountered the word of God, if you've heard it like you might be hearing it this morning, somebody's sown the word of God, and they've said, just happened to be this morning, it might be somebody else, it might be a coworker, it might be a family friend, it might be a preacher in another church, whoever it might be. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Don't let the devil do that to you this morning. Don't let the devil come and take away the word that's sown in your heart this morning. I've had that happen, Brother Mike. I've had people try to tell me about the Lord, Brother Jim, and that day would go by and I'd forget, and the devil would take that word out of my heart. I'd encountered that when I first started coming to this church. And it took about a month of hearing the word of God. Boy, I'd hear it and the devil come around, Brother Mike, and he'd try to take it away, everything that I'd heard. And I'd hear again and he'd try to take it away. And finally, I said, I'm going to take hold on it. I'm not going to let him take it away anymore. I'm not going to let him steal the word of God out of my heart. I'm going to let it do its work in my heart. And boy, I'd encourage you this morning, if you don't know the Lord, don't let this be another service. Don't let this be like a funeral service that you've been to and you've been presented with the gospel. Don't let it be like a time that you went to church, or maybe an Easter Sunday that you went to church and you didn't take hold of the word of God. Take hold of it this morning. Let it do a work in your heart. James chapter number 1, verse number 22 warns us of the same thing. It said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Hey, it doesn't do a lot of good. Thank God if you go to church on Easter Sunday, if you picked up the Bible, if you're listening to somebody on the internet, or if you're listening to somebody on TV, but be doers of the word. Let it do its work in your heart. If any be a hearer of the word, the Bible says, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or like a man that looks in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, he sees what he is, the word of God reveals it. The Bible says the word of God is quicker, it's sharp, and it's quicker, it cuts asunder, it's a divider of the joints and marrow, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what, when you're presented with the word of God, that's what it does. It shows you what you are. But we don't want to go straightway, as the Bible says here, and forget what manner of man we are. He said, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When the word of God reveals to you who you are and what you are, do something about it. Don't go straightway and forget about it. Don't let the devil just steal away everything that God's just tried to place in your heart. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that being the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hey, let the word of God do a work in your heart this morning. We got one more scripture and we're going to be done. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 15, and we'll finish up this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 15. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 2 Corinthians doesn't even have 15 chapters. That would have been tough to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 3. Good friend of mine, Freddie Spry, some of you others, Mike, you might have got the same message this morning. I don't know if he sends out stuff. Sometimes he sends it to one or two of us. Sometimes he sends it to everybody. But Freddie's friend sent out a message this morning, texted a message just about the resurrection of the Lord. And he said, there's more proof, there's more evidence, there's more historical evidence for the Lord Jesus Christ rising from the dead than there is that Julius Caesar ever walked on the face of this earth. That's the truth. More evidence. You say, well, that's just a bunch of people that wrote down a bunch of gibberish and it's not proven. And no, it's historical fact. And not only did the Bible record it, but historians of the day recorded it. But the truth of the matter is, if you let the Word of God we were just talking about do a work in your heart, you feel it. You feel that drawing power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's His ministry. That's one of the things He does. He convinces the world of righteousness and of judgment to come, and He draws people unto Himself. He could be drawing you this morning. Just let the Word of God do its work in your heart. Don't turn from it. Don't let the devil steal it away. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I want to show you what the Word of God has to say about how many saw the Lord after His resurrection. It wasn't just a few. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 3. For I delivered unto you, the Apostle Paul said, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, that was Peter, then He was seen of the 12, the apostles, after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. What's He talking about? Some have died. Some have already gone on to be with the Lord. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles again, and last of all, He was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul saw Him? He was walking on the road to Damascus, and he was struck by that light that was brighter than the noonday sun. And Jesus asked him, said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You remember He saw Him later after His resurrection, after He'd already gone back to the Father. Jesus wasn't just seeing a one or two people. It wasn't just a couple people in a room in the back somewhere scared that the Jews were coming to get them. He was seen of all the apostles. He was seen of the people that walked with Him individually, and He was seen of above 500 people at one time. It's a historical fact. It's a historical fact. And like I said, you know, when we go to school, we pick up a history book and we read about George Washington. Brother Mike, you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't even know that George Washington ever lived except by a history book. That's the only way I know about George Washington. He may not have ever even lived. I could have been lied to, Sister Pinkett. Might not even been a George Washington. You say, well, of course there's a George Washington. He was our first president. Well, how do you know that? Were you alive during that time? You're taking a historian's word for the fact that George Washington lived. And folks, I'm telling you that there's a book that's alive that'll change your life that says that there was a man named Jesus Christ that died for your sins. He'll change your life. He'll come into your heart to live, and you'll have no doubt that there's a resurrection. So, Father, thank You, Lord, for Your word.
We want to thank you for joining us today. Thank Brother Travis for the great lesson titled, Have You Seen Jesus? What a great question that is. I hope you were blessed by listening to Brother Travis today. A lot of rich content, a lot of golden nuggets in that lesson, and we do thank Travis for taking the time to put that together. And so hopefully we'll have Brother Amos Martin the former NFL player on the podcast in the next few days. Tune back for that. And until we speak again, try to do your part and glorify the Lord Jesus. Tell somebody about Him. Lift up His name. Amen. Help somebody, dear friend. Reach out to your neighbor, co-worker, whoever it may be, and let them see the Lord Jesus in you. Amen. So until next time, we want to thank you from Glory to His Name podcast, and we'll see you next time.